We got our guy Isaac Feldman here who used to work with us. He works at the Sports Network. He fought last week and won.
Winner by knockout from Long Island, New York, Isaac Feldman.
Let's go. Here's the problem with that. Now with the proliferation of MMA.
Yes.
You ain't got anybody.
You have no idea.
Because that dude Isaac, who's a great kid.
Yeah.
You'd look at him and go, I'll probably have this guy. I can handle this guy.
He'd kill you in 30 seconds.
No, like, God damn, I hurt the wrong guy.
Welcome to the Ike Tagon.
What's up, fight fans? Ike Feldman back for another IkeTagon.com webisode. Thank you for downloading the Mind, Body, Soul podcast. Found on IkeTagon.com. Found on Apple Podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Radio Public, iTunes, iHeartMedia, all that great stuff and all those platforms. So thank you. As I promised in the past, I would have guests on the show. We have a very first guest, the inaugural guest. Who other than the great, the one of a kind, the one and only, the very talented Robbie The House, the Huge Freeze, Rosenhaus, standing in this corner at 178 pounds, he wishes. Robbie Rosenhaus, he's joining the Iktagon. We'll get to him in a couple minutes. He is in Vegas for UFC 248. We're going to get to UFC 248 in a second. But Robbie is in the mix, in the face of these fighters. He's looking in the eyes of these people who are going to main event a huge fight. And a huge event that may not be getting the most attention. It's not a Conor McGregor fight. It's not a John Jones fight. It's not a Khabib Nurmagomedov fight. But people should be paying attention because the same skill and ferocity and ferociousness involved in the training and the skillfulness that we're going to see on display Saturday night is the same as those other fighters. It's just maybe their marketability isn't the same. Israel Adesanya, Yoel Romero, Israel Adesanya, former full-time kickboxer. I believe he's only lost one fight in kickboxing and then transitioned to MMA. He's undefeated in MMA. I believe he's won 7 fights in the UFC. He's undefeated. He's the fastest to win the title in a year span. He fought 5 fights. He's knocked out most of his opponents. He's gone full 5-round wars. He has fight of the year under his belt, UFC 236 against Kelvin Gastelum. Israel Adesanya, he's a great speaker. He's a huge athlete in the Oceanic or the Australian, New Zealand area of the world. And we saw that on display with UFC 243. I believe it was the biggest UFC event of all time in terms of live audience attendees. I believe it was north of 56,000 people. Obviously, it was the Australian Robert Whittaker facing off a New Zealander, Nigerian-born, but New Zealand-raised Israel Adesanya. That event was colossal. It was amazing. It ended in Israel Adesanya unifying the 185-pound belt and becoming one of the greatest 185-pound fighters. Not yet. He hasn't caught Chris Weidman. Not yet. Hasn't crossed caught Anderson Silva, not even close. But if he gets a win over the silver medalist, multiple-time UFC title challenger, Yoel Romero, unbelievable athlete, crazy knockout power, fantastic wrestling. If Israel Adesanya gets a win over Yoel Romero, it will cement his legacy and his name inside the 185-pound division. And I think he will. I think he'll outpoint Yoel. I think he might even finish him later in the fight, maybe the 4th or 5th round. But he will win this fight. He's smart. He's strong. He knows that Yoel's strongest suit is wrestling and explosiveness, so he should be well prepared for that. There's a lot of footage and a lot of film on Yoel, so there should be no excuse. Nothing should surprise Izzy when Yoel comes leaping at him with that left hand or that heavy right hook, because he is a lefty. So Izzy should not be surprised with that. If you're well, you should want to use your wrestling. You should test Izzy. You should take him down. You should try to hold him down. You should try to knee him. You should try to take his back. You should try to ground and pound him. I think you should threaten it early. And you shouldn't be afraid of your gas tank. You should make Izzy afraid of your strength and your power. But I think he is who he is at this point in his career. He's a 42-year-old Cuban fighter. And there's a lot of rumors that Cubans, baseball players are fighters, boxers, now MMA fighters. They don't necessarily tell you their exact age, and they could be a little older than they present themselves. So Yoel at 42, he might be a little older than that. But he's still Yoel. He's still one of the best athletes in the UFC. He has not been finished. He's only lost by close decisions against Robert Whittaker, who I just said Izzy took out at UFC 243. So this fight will not be easy for Izzy, but he will get the win. Co-main event, Weili Zhang, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Joanna, former UFC champion. She's the six-time or five-time UFC strawweight champion, the second most all-times for women mixed martial artists. Ronda Rousey has six title defenses, and Ronda is not getting enough respect and credit for that. A lot of people like to look at her as a WWE athlete or a crybaby MMA athlete, but Ronda is one of the best women fighters and one of the best overall fighters of all time. But Joanna is right up there on that list. She's probably top five of all time, and this will not be an easy fight for Weili Zhang. If the current champs, Weili Zhang and Israel Adesanya, are to win their fights, they must take and keep and guard the gold. It's not going to be an easy fight for them. Joanna's trying to make it that two-time champ, and Yoel's trying to be the champ. So there's a lot of pressure that they're putting on themselves. Maybe not a lot of people have the same belief that they have because they've seen them recently lose or not grab the gold at all, but Joanna and Yoel, they really want that gold, and they really want to put on a statement and show that they're not on the tail end of their career and there's not other career choices that are on the table that can distract them from what their ultimate goal is, and that is to be champion. So we will see. I will give you my full picks at the end of this interview with Robbie Rosenhaus. I think Israel Adesanya will get it done. I think after the interview, you'll see why he gets it done. Robbie sways me 100%, and it is a tough, tough fight in the co-main event, both fights. But he's swaying me on Weili Zhang, and he gives you a quote of the week about why you should pick Weili Zhang. Dana White said a fantastic quote, which I retweeted on my Ike_CBS account, which is fantastic. But Robbie took that quote and put some sugar, put it in the oven for 350, took it out, put some syrup and covered it in ice cream and demolished Dana's quote. He gave a 10 times better quote than Dana White did. So without further ado, the first guest in Iketagon.com history, Robbie Rosenhaus. As I teased earlier, the first Iketagon.com guest ever. Yeah, I think it was getting a little too narcissistic. Just speaking to myself, looking into a camera. I did promise you guys guests. I did promise you guys fighters and whatnot. He isn't a fighter, but he's a fantastic friend of mine. He's a huge combat sports fan. He goes to 10 times more events than me or other colleagues we've worked with have attended. But his name is Robbie Rosenhaus, huge freeze, the house. He has many nicknames. Robbie is touchdown in Vegas. He's there for Fight Week UFC 248. Mr. Rosenhaus, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay, buddy. How are you?
Well, that was the cue I expected to hear some beautiful blessed tones.
Okay. We can start again and I'll sing.
No, Rob, it's okay.
I swear. I swear, I'll sing. I'm definitely kidding.
I'm kidding. At some point, I do expect maybe the final question or the final rap to it.
Can you lead me in again and I will sing, I promise.
You sure?
I promise. I just thought of something very amusing. Okay?
We're rolling, man. That you, we're rolling. Okay, this is authentic and as it gets. All right.
No, I want you to. I want you to lead me in again.
You can't wait. You get what you want, Robbie. I've turned over a new leaf. Do not upset me. How you doing? Answer the question. What's going on, brother?
When I'm with you, it doesn't matter where we are. And right now, I'm in Vegas. Went to media day today, which was about a third of the people that were at the McGregor Cowboy Media Week, which was 2 months ago.
Wow.
They had the top six fighter, the top six fights, so the top 12 fighters were there. They had the two champs on stage, and they had the two challengers adjacent to the stage, which sometimes isn't normal if there's a lot of animosity. But as we'll get to in a couple minutes, again, there was a little bit of animosity between one of the title fights, but we'll get to that in a second. But it was interesting. I spoke to a bunch of the fighters there, and this is shaping up to be a really good card here in Vegas.
Let's talk about the beginning of the trip, and you've alluded to that the media coverage is a little watered down because it's not a McGregor fight. And fair to say, it's hard to match a McGregor fight week. But what day did you arrive in Vegas, and how's the atmosphere? How's the weather? Give us paint the picture for us, if you could, man.
Well, it's 70 and sunny here. It's supposed to be 70 and sunny through the weekend, and it's been. The media here, I when there's a ton of media, as you know, and as your audience should know by now, you've been to a bunch of events with me and a few without me, and I've been to a few without you. And we have kind of agreed that the smaller events are better for access because of the massive amounts of coverage on a fight with McGregor or with Khabib, and obviously the one in April, the pay-per-view in April is going to get a massive amount of media attention, especially being in New York. But this week, compared to Conor and Cowboy, is about, I'd say, about a third to maybe half of the media coverage. I think you have two really good title fights and some interesting styles and some interesting stories for sure. Especially with Romero and Adesanya, who obviously are on two different paths at this point, and we'll see when they meet on Saturday night, you know, who comes out on top.
And what about their respect? Again, we're being joined by the great, the wonderful, the fantastic Robbie Rosenhaus. He's a close friend of mine. We've been to many events. Our friendship goes way further than our media hangouts. We have our own regular friendly hangouts, but Robbie, sticking with the correspondent role, if you'd say, have you noticed a difference in the way Adesanya, Yoel, they're being treated, or the way they're carrying themselves? We are now knee deep in the ESPN era. Do you see them being maybe courted around differently? Do you see the way the access is provided? Maybe it's a little more limited. Is there anything noticeably different between pre-ESPN and now in the ESPN era with the UFC?
Okay. Well, I'll say this. So yesterday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we are talking Thursday.
What's
excuse
going
me.
On?
I know I'm mixing up days. I'm sounding like Joe Biden, but that's a story for another day.
You have the Ike Davis summer of, yeah. you had the cherry on top of that joke. I couldn't top that.
No, that's... No, but in terms of the workouts yesterday, there was probably around 100 to 200 people, I'd say, surrounding a huge mat in the middle of the casino floor, roped off. There had to be about, I don't know, 75 to 100 media as well. And the access there was great, too. But when I tell you that these fighters were escorted through the casino with an entourage of security, I don't know if that's what you were meaning by that. I guess just because they were going through the public and they wanted the extra security until they got inside the ropes. But in terms of the access today and media day, I mean, you could have stood there and talked to any of the fighters, any of the 12 fighters from Sugar O'Malley to to Adesanya from you could have stood there and talked to any of them, and they would have given you a couple of minutes, because it wasn't, like I said, as crowded, and it doesn't have the star power of a Conor McGregor at this point, even though there's two belts on the line come Saturday night.
Wow. I think you nailed it then. It's almost the same, just loose access. It's not really crazy security or crazy limited time. I hope that ESPN or SportsCenter or evening shows or primetime shows on ESPN, maybe they're replaying some fights from Yoel and Adesanya on their ESPN News or ESPN2. This should be the advantage that ESPN provides to UFC to pump up their product. I mean, I don't feel it. Technically speaking or skillfully speaking, dude, this is a premier Super Bowl event in terms of skill versus skill with Adesanya's kickboxing and Yoel's wrestling. I'm not feeling it like the casual fans buying into this. I had to tell one of my friends who's a casual fight fan, I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't know if I could come out. There's a huge UFC event. He goes, huge? Who's fighting? And I go, never mind. Doesn't even matter. I go, I guess I'm going to the bar alone. But anyway, Robbie.
So I think this event, to finish your question and answer it, I think this event is definitely more for the... I was just going to say this is more for the smart fans and for the experts. This isn't going to bring in the casual fan. It doesn't have Bones Jones. It doesn't have McGregor. It doesn't have Rousey. It doesn't even have Nunes, who, again, is now a worldwide superstar. So, it doesn't have, that celebrity draw. You know, a lot of people don't know truly how good Yoel Romero is, and people are just starting to find out how good Adesanya is. And then the undercard, the other title fight, you don't have an American woman fighting. You have one that doesn't speak English, and the other one is a significant underdog in my mind. So, you have a lot of challenges facing this card, but that does not mean that it's going to be a bad card whatsoever. I actually think it's going to be a really good card if you get to some of the fights on the undercard, the Max Griffin fight. I think this card top to bottom is pretty good. And even though it's not getting the hype that, you would like to see it get, I think the people that watch Saturday night will get enough satisfaction out of it. Especially the true hardcore fans of MMA.
And again, we're being joined by at Robbie Rosenhaus on Twitter. Do you have an Instagram, Robbie?
I do not. That's by design.
Well, looking at some of the fights, what are some of the storylines that are following it? Leading up to the fight, I saw that Joanna posted on Instagram, which you don't have, so you would have no idea about this, but sometimes it can cross over to Twitter. Joanna was wearing a face mask, like a surgeon mask, which obviously everybody knows what's going on with the coronavirus. And she did a Photoshop job where she's wearing the mask and she's facing off against Weili Zhang. And she deleted it. She apologized about it. Looking at the main event, we know Yoel's tried and tried again for a title fight. Adesanya, is he the next international superstar? He speaks well. He's walking the walk. Can you tell us some of the storylines that you're seeing out of Vegas?
Well, I would say the number one storyline from what I've taken today is that this women's fight is going to be a knockdown, drag them out, let the fists fly, old-fashioned, stand-up boxing match. This is what that's going to be.
Why, man? Now I'm intrigued.
I've seen probably 15 to 20 open workouts covering different UFC events.
Okay.
And I have never seen as intense a workout and quicker hands and just how sharp she was than Jack.
Wow.
In my few years of covering this, I was blown away. I mean, I had a couple people come up to me and say, that's not normal. And, you know, and it's funny because, not funny, but it's if you want to contrast what Joanna did about 20 minutes later, she did about 5 minutes of sparring, and then she wanted to take questions from the audience like she was Jay Leno. I mean, it was quite surreal. It really was.
All right, so
and then it culminated today, being Thursday at the at Media Day when they had face-offs, and Joanna basically was saying, "I'm going to break your face," and this, and you know, and putting you know, the usual stuff, and Dana had his arm in the middle, and Zhang told her to shut up, and she doesn't speak English, and the entire media got a laugh out of that. Well, Joanna didn't like that one bit, and she turned up the intensity there and was really going after her, and you know, Dana had to come in the middle of them, but it added a little spice to it for sure. And then you had Adesanya and Romero get up there and shake hands and choke. So it was a nice contrast. So I'm really looking forward. Well, listen, I was looking forward to the Romero fight anyway. This will be my fourth time seeing Yoel fight. A funny thing about Yoel, though, I'll give you this little tidbit for your listeners out there. My first event I ever attended was back in 2013 in suburban Atlanta, and Yoel fought Derek Brunson, and he beat him up pretty good, and he beat him by TKO, and he said at that fight, he mentioned that fight today, and he said at that fight I met Shaquille O'Neal, and we became good friends, and I guess Dana was at the fight. And this is a card that if you go back and look, it had Luke Rockhold on it, and TJ Dillashaw, and Yoel Romero, and Derek Brunson, a lot of guys that went on to good careers. And Yoel said that he formed a friendship with Shaquille O'Neal, and he said that they actually sparred a couple of times, and then we were joking with him on, you know, what's it like? And he goes, he's heavy.
He's heavy.
Yeah, he goes, he's in broken English. He goes, he heavy. You know, so it was, he seems like, he seems loose. And so did Adesanya. Adesanya came off a lot more cerebral than I thought, in terms of just how he was able to, just kind of break down, what he's going up against and, what he's going to face on Saturday night.
I'm glad you brought that up, too, with Adesanya and obviously the great story with Yoel. But with Adesanya, man, it's like everybody gets – they see what he does in media. It's almost like he has, like, R&B or hip-hop pre-written lines when he gets to the press conference. And it's like, all right, dude, I understand you're foreign and maybe you just heard Nas or just heard Eminem, so you want to, like, spice up the audience, but he comes across very immature. That's why I like when he does the X's and O's and something that he's like a perfect scientist or physical scientist for. I appreciate when he does talk about the physicality or the X's and O's about fighting. So it's the same with Conor, man. People think he's like, I mean, he has said some pretty racy stuff, but when Conor sits down, you actually question him about fighting, you get to see a different side of them. So I'm glad you got to see that, because some of his anime and some of his hip-hop bar pre-written stuff can get under some people's skin. Is that how it was for you, like pre-interacting with Adesanya or seeing him up close?
Oh, totally. I mean, he's the one actually I spent the most time with today because he was so forthcoming with a bunch of information. And I found a couple of things he said about social media very interesting, just the fact that he likes to Fight Week. He likes to get on there, and he likes to interact with people, and he doesn't mind blocking people, and he really enjoys it. But I spent a lot of time with him, and I spent a lot of time with Yoel. So I'm ready for this fight, man. I'm And I did see the you know, the cerebral side for sure of Izzy, and you know, I think he's focused. This should be one heck of a fight.
All right, it's the final chance for you to get your opinion out there about these fights on theoctagon.com. Again, Robbie Rosenhaus, thank you for joining me. The first, the initial, the inaugural guest on theoctagon.com webisode series. So, Robbie, a common opponent between Izzy and Yoel knows you like to bet. His name is Robert Whitaker. If you had to put your shekels out there, your money on the line, who you taking in the two title fights?
Well, I'm taking Zhang because her hands. I think that's going to be an end still. The two of us were at Madison Square Garden when we saw Rose Namajunas handle Joanna pretty handily.
Yeah.
for lack of a different adjective right now, because I've run out of words for how quick her hands were, and just I think she's going to dominate. I think she's going to win via KO. As far as the other fight goes, my heart says Yoel. My heart says Adesanya is going to find a way to wear him down. I mean, this is another, here's the bottom line. Until I see Yoel win a 5-round fight, I can't pick him. It's the same old thing. I can't pick him until I actually see it, because of the fact that he gasses out. And I know that's an easy excuse. And Izzy actually said, well, you know, if I beat him, that's what everybody's going to say. That's what everybody's going to excuse him, that he gassed out and he's old and this and that. And he's already putting that out there. And he said that a couple times. But I don't know. I really hope Yoel wins. I think he's trained hard. He looked good. He sounded good. But I just think Adesanya's got the cardio, and I think he's going to win a decision. And I wouldn't put my money on. I wouldn't put my money on him. I know he's a $2 or $3 favorite. So I mean, I wouldn't bet that. But as far as the two fights, I think it's both going to be end still.
Wow. Wow. I thought I'd get you in the midst of fight week, or in the magic of speaking to Yoel face-to-face again. I know he's one of your favorites. I thought you'd lean towards the Cuban Missile himself, man.
Wow.
That says a lot, man, because it is a huge favorite for Adesanya.
I don't know what to say, man. I mean, I'm giving you my honest opinion. I think that Adesanya has the arsenal and the toolbox to take care of Romero. I mean, if you look at the Whitaker fights, I mean, he took a beating early on and then wore him down, as we've seen. And you know, his takedown defense, that's going to be a key. I mean, Yoel's going to want to get on the floor and start using that jiu-jitsu and wrestling. And I don't know what exactly new tricks he has up his sleeve. Although I will say this, we did speak before this, as I was going through the interviews, I had texted you a couple of things, and one of them was I asked Yoel if he had, during his time off, if he had watched any of the other fighters or learned anything new, and he said absolutely. He said he keeps notes, and he said the sport is evolving, and you have to keep up with it. And as I get older, you know, I'm learning new things. So we'll see if he has any new tricks in his bag for Izzy on Saturday.
And the one thing about that interview, or the couple of questions you got to ask him, man, he looked drained out. His eye sockets, like he looked like you could see the outline of his skull. I was like, yikes. Thank goodness this isn't the International Fight Week mid-July card.
Well, it's 70, not 170. So it's nice out, actually. I'm sure he's going to get in some serious workouts over the next couple of days and get his body ready, get some liquids, and get ready to go, because this is unlike any fight I think that he has faced, even Whitaker. But I'll ask you this, like, stylistically, I mean, you look at the fights that he went into with Whitaker, especially the second one when he knew what he was getting into, and you look at this fight. I mean, I mean, how do you think he's going to go about things differently to win this fight? I mean, how can you train yourself at such an advanced age, you know, to have that, you know, that cardio and to have that, you know, that respiratory resolve, you know, to go five rounds with a guy who's, you know, almost half your age and is in tip-top shape?
That's what I think not enough people are talking about, that Yoel's human too. Everybody talks about what Rockhold felt or what Whitaker felt in the cage with him, that he feels like steel, that he's just made out of concrete or something. But yeah, Yoel is still a man. He's 42-year-old man. Even if he's in phenomenal shape and has an eight-pack, man, he's still been in many, many wars. So I'm glad you brought that up, man, because sometimes I get warped into the bubble and I'm like, yo, well, man, he's a scary competitor. But you kind of sober me up, and I'm sure other people, about, hey, he's aged. He's just a man. And Izzy is in the prime of his career.
It's going to be fascinating, Ike.
It's going to be awesome, man.
Like I said, like I said, man, this one's for the hardcore MMA fans. And if you're a casual MMA fan, you definitely want to tune in for this, because I think you're going to see fireworks in both title fights. I really, really do.
Yeah, I agree. That's why it's like, I hope ESPN2 or ESPN News or ESPN The Ocho is running something on this fight, just to keep it in the loop. There's no other sports going on. College basketball, I don't need a Dayton or a Florida Gulf Coast highlight. I'm sorry, but this is a huge fight. Robbie, I appreciate the time. Is there anything you want to say or sing in closing?
There's nothing left to say but goodbye.
Is that an Ed Murrow quote, or what is it?
No, I think it's a Billy Joel lyric.
Are you a Joel or Elton John fan? I got into a huge debate. Like, you, people say you can't be both. You have to be one or the other.
I like both, and I'll tell you a quick story. During the 2000 World Series, which featured the New York Mets and the New York Yankees, which nobody in this country cared about outside of the New York metropolitan area, I was at an Elton John and Billy Joel concert on the night of Game 1 of that World Series.
What do you mean,
and? This is before...
They were together?
No. Game... Yes, they were together at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
And it was the night, it was October of 2000, yes. And
wow.
Everybody was going out to the bar during breaks in the set to get the scores and watch the game, because this is 2000, not 2020. Yep. And 20 years ago, we didn't have cell phones, or if we did, they were little Nokia ones that you played Snake on.
Yeah, the Snake game.
Okay. All right. And I had to listen to Armando Benitez blow the game for the Mets on my little Walkman, Sony Walkman, as I was sitting on the train coming home after listening to Elton John and Billy Joel. So I said goodbye to Game 1, goodbye to Yellow Brick Road, and goodbye to Billy and Elton. And that was the end of that.
Wow. I never knew they came together for an event.
Yes, they did.
That's pretty awesome. It sucks that it happened on that night. It was kind of a letdown emotionally for you. What were you?
That's okay.
14 though, at the time, something like that.
Right around there.
You're right in the midst of your hormonal outrages, so I'm sure that was your tears of sadness on the train ride home. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. We'll cover my hormonal outrages on next weekend.
Dude, we might have to do an update. You better be setting cage side, man.
You could print out a pie chart as I eat pie. What's that?
I love you, Robbie. Anything else?
No, I'll be sitting in the press box, and we can recap anytime you want, my man. Thanks for inviting me on, and always a pleasure to talk with you.
No problem. When's your flight home?
Sunday.
All right. Maybe before then, okay?
Okay, bud.
And there you have it. My friend, colleague, hardworking, sometimes stubborn, but the very entertaining Robbie Rosenhaus. Follow him on Twitter, at Robbie Rosenhaus. The house, the huge freeze. He made a huge impression during our time at CBS Sports Radio Network. And Robbie is one of a kind. He's one of a kind humans, friends, and talent. So I wish the world for Robbie, and I know he'll enjoy the fights, and we'll probably do a recap next week. And trust me, he's a lot more colorful than he is now. He's hysterical. If the kid wanted to do stand-up or write comedy, he could, but he's in fight mode. He joined the Octagon, so he gave his best correspondent, fight correspondent, put his fight correspondent hat on, and he delivered. So I'm going to stop talking like Jay Leno, like Robbie said. So enjoy the fights. Download the MMA Mavericks. Download the Mind, Body, Soul podcast. Follow Robbie on Twitter at Robbie Rosenhaus. See ya. Or wait, it's later. Now Robbie's got me thinking baseball. Michael Kay, the Yankees play-by-play guy, says see ya when there's a home run hit. It's later on the Octagon. Baseball. A couple weeks away from opening day, but later.